Hello everyone, my name is Rafael Fernandez Lopez and I'm a senior software engineer at SUSE. And today we are going to talk about extending Kubernetes with WebAssembly. So first of all, what is WebAssembly? It is a binary instruction format. It allows us to build once and run everywhere. It is a standalone. It allows us to store metadata inside of the binary. And it is a target in multiple languages, so we can use the language and the toolchain that we already know and love. So we are going to extend Kubernetes with it. But how exactly? So one of the main components of Kubernetes is the API server. The API server reads and stores information into a distributed key value store called etcd. So we as users reach out to the API server, other components might as well, whether they are internal or external to the cluster. So let's look at the internals of the API server. Every time a request comes into the API server, it gets authenticated and authorized. Then this object inside this request could be mutated. Then it gets validated against the schema of the object, and then it gets validated. If everything is fine, it will get stored into etcd. So what you see here as webhooks is a concept of Kubernetes called the dynamic admission control. And so we are able to register in which type of operations, in which kind of objects we are interested, and in which webhooks we want to target with them. So the API server will perform an HTTP request every time a request like that comes, and will call to the right webhooks in order to mutate or validate the request. And so we thought, what if we could use WebAssembly to write this small amount of code that is able to mutate or validate code, validate requests, inside of Kubernetes? And so Kubewarden was born. With Kubewarden, you are able to define policies, and so these policies are able to mutate or validate requests. And so how to execute policies? Inside of Kubernetes, you deploy the Kubewarden controller, and by defining policies that target different kind of resources, different operations, you are able to either mutate, accept, or reject. And so policies get executed inside policy servers. By default, there is only one policy server, but you can create as many policy servers as you want. And so you can target different policy servers from within different policies. So you might want to create one policy server per tenant. This is completely up to you. And so this is how it works inside of Kubernetes. You can also run policies outside of Kubernetes, so you can check if they behave as you expect, whether you are developing a new policy or you are using one that you found. And so you have available the kwctl CLI tool that you can run inside your laptop, your desktop, so you can run policies offline without the need of Kubernetes. And so running is only part of the problem. The other part of the problem is distributing these policies. And so you are probably used right now to OCI registries, because you are using OCI registries to distribute container images already. So the good news is that you can use this same OCI registry to also distribute policies, as long as the OCI registry allows the OCI artifacts. And so now, how do you share policies? We have created the policy hub, in where you can find different policies, so you can discover them and use them as you need. And now let's look for a short demo on how to run policies. And here we have a policy that will reject services that are of type load balancer. And so we're going to pull this policy. You can think of this as Podman pull and Podman images, but just for policies with kwctl. And you can see now that we get the list, just the policy that we just pulled. We can inspect the policy. Remember that this is inside of the binary, this information that flies with the policy itself. And we can see a request that should be allowed. In this case, we are creating a service of type cluster IP, so this should be fine. Let's run that with kwctl. And we see that this was allowed. So this request would be allowed if we deployed this on top of the cluster. Let's look at another request. In this case, it tries to create a load balancer service type, and this gets rejected by the policy. You get that the message comes from the policy itself. You can see more commands for kwctl. You can inspect policies, you can annotate them, you can pull, you can push to an OCI artifact. You can also verify them by using sigstore. So you have different options over there. So Join us. We have everything is being done in the open, so you can go to our GitHub org. We also have a Twitter account. You can go to the Kubernetes Slack, the official one, or the Rancher users one, and we also have official website, so you can look into that. So that's all from me. Thank you for joining me today, and have anything else, enjoy the rest of the event.
So, hey everyone, welcome to the Q&A for extending Kubernetes with WebAssembly. I see there are currently no questions. Rafa, maybe you can tell us more about this.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that I wanted to also add to what I have already said is that you can write policies in the languages that you want. Right now we have SDK, and by SDK I mean like a library that you can use to write the policy. It's super simple in Rust, Swift, and Go. In this case, is you have to use TinyGo as the compiler because the official Go compiler from Google doesn't allow you to build a standalone WebAssembly module. And so you have Rust, Swift, and Go. And we also have another policy, for example, written in assembly script. We don't have an SDK for that. But if you are eager to write it, you are absolutely welcome. And also, besides that, you could also write policies in any language that you can use with WAPC. And so this is what we are using in order to call policies from the policy server and kwctl. And so with this WAPC procedure call, you write basically your policy. And so you could, for example, write also policies in Seek if you were interested. We don't have SDK for that either, but yeah. And besides that, we also have plans for extending kubeordering, so you can also have background checks. Like, for example, I have something created on the cluster, everything is fine, it passed all the policies, then I deployed a new policy afterwards, and this is actually kind of breaking. I have resources that are already persisted, but they are now breaking the new policy. So you have background checking in order to tell you about this. And also you have we are working on another model in which before you actually deploy policies into the cluster in production, you are able to see if they were about to break something that is not yet on the cluster. So for example, I could deploy a policy in this mode that is just like a notifying mode. We don't have a name for that yet. But the idea is that before I deploy this policy in production that could potentially break stuff, I deployed it in this model, maybe notify, I don't know. And then you see what it would have rejected. It won't reject, but you see what it would have rejected or what would it have mutated. And so you have this information in your logs and you're able to deploy policies in this mode without the need of actually running them like in production, taking actions or rejecting, accepting, or mutating requests. And besides that, if you all also want to create policies, you're absolutely welcome. We have about 22 policies right now in the Kubeordering Hub. This is where we share policies. People can learn about new ones and deploy new ones, publish new ones, so you can use that. So take a look at that and create policies if you are missing something over there. And with that, I think we are running out of time. So thank you, everyone, and enjoy the rest of FOSDEM.
Thanks, Rafa.
Thank you.